All right, welcome to part four and the final installment of the series, I Have Decided. Has anybody been getting anything out of this? Have you enjoyed this? Any decisions made? Is anybody saying, I have decided in 2017 it's going to be a brand new year and a brand new life in Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say before we go any further with the service, I just want to give a shout out to our small groups pastor, Pastor Steve Guptill, who's done a phenomenal job in leading our launch of our new small group semester this spring semester. So excited about it, and just going to have a great showcase right after service today. And we're going to be speaking a little bit about that as we go through today's message, actually. And also, let me just also do one more important thing, and that is to welcome all those that are now currently watching online. Glad that you've joined us. Good to have you along for the ride. Yes, come on, give it up. And so let me just say, for those that are watching online live, or maybe you're even checking it out later and it's recorded, we may be recorded, but he's live. So we are glad that you're connected, and we pray that God just has a specific word of encouragement for you. And we believe that God's word has the power to change life. In fact, in his word, there is life, amen. It's the words of life, and there is power and there is authority in the mighty word of God today. And so we pray that as we're here today or watching online, that we'll hear not just the words of a man, but we'll hear what God is speaking. So we pray, God, just open our hearts to hear what you would say to us today. Well, I'm really anxious to get into this final installment of this message. You know, we're talking about decisions. I have decided, making decisions in 2017. It's a brand new year. Don't you enjoy the fact that in a brand new year, you get a clean slate, you get a new start, you get a new beginning? And so that's really what we're talking about. And we're talking about the fact that, you know, we all make different decisions. We make decisions every day. When we get up in the morning, every day we're making decisions about what we're going to eat and what we're going to put on and what we're going to do and where we're going to go. And so that's a part of everyday life. But there are some decisions that are extremely, extremely important. And we're talking about some of the most important decisions that you'll ever make. In the first week, we talked about the decision of if there's one thing that is needed for us to make a decision about, and that's a decision for us to get closer and closer to the Lord. It's been the theme of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and so our goal in that is that, Lord, we just want to get closer and closer to you, because if we can get closer to you, it's going to change everything. You see, this will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually, right? And when it's the best year of your life spiritually, everything grows out from there. And so in 2017, we began by setting aside 21 days of just going after God with all of our heart. And we actually concluded that yesterday on our day 21, just yesterday, of our prayer and fasting. I say conclusion very lightly because my hope is that it began a new habit in your life of saying, man, this is awesome. I mean, this has just developed a new place in my heart, in my life, of going after Jesus intently and on purpose. And so we encourage that today is, we pray that today for you is actually day 22, and tomorrow will be day 23, and that you'll continue to pray and seek the Lord with all your heart. And so that's what we did in that first week. And then the next week, week two, we talked about what it really means to be a follower. I have decided to follow Jesus. And really what that means is more than a song. Actually, it's about taking up our cross and following the Lord. And so that's a little more serious sometimes than we think it is to follow him. It's not just like we follow people on Facebook and then we unfollow them. No, it's more intense than that. It's a commitment. And so we talked about that and how we gave you some steps of just identifying where you are and moving through that to move into a closer relationship with the Lord, and how to take next steps, spiritual steps. In fact, one of those steps is water baptism. I want to encourage you that in 2 weeks we're going to have our water baptism. And so encourage you, if you haven't taken that step, take that step. You want to know what that's all about? Go back online and check out that installment of that message. There's notes there for you, and I believe it will help you. And we're just going to have an awesome day in a couple of weeks of doing some water baptism. And perhaps you've even come to Christ, and maybe you just did not walk with the Lord all this journey, and you've now come back to the Lord. I encourage you, man, just make that commitment. Go out publicly, declare, hey, I'm all in, and be water baptized again. And we'd love to have the honor of doing that. The week three, last week we talked about, I have decided I'm going to live my life on purpose, that we were created with a purpose, and that everything in our life is defined by our purpose and what our decision is on living our life on purpose. We weren't just created and God said, what am I going to do with them? But no, we were created with a purpose. God had a purpose before He made you. He had already made you, and He had already designed something for you to do, a purpose for your life. And when you discover that, while you're here on this earth, it changes everything. Any of these messages, I encourage you to go back if you missed those and listen to those online. Today, we're going to talk about really an extremely important thing that really defines who we are, and that is our relationships. So I have decided to focus on relationships is this installment of this message today. And the fact is that we are really all a sum total of our relationships. Now, all of us have relationships. Some of those relationships are good, and we've all had some very bad relationships as well. There's been times in our life where we've experienced brokenness, we've experienced heartbreak, there's been words, there's been things that should not have been and should not have occurred. And for some of us, because of those bad experiences, we have made this conclusion that the most important relationship for me is me. You know, some of us, because someone's hurt us, we've been wounded, we've been scarred. So from now on, I'm looking out for number one, and I'm all about me. And so then everything else besides me becomes disposable. Marriage becomes disposable. The kids become disposable. The job becomes disposable. It's just all disposable because at the end of the day, I'm looking out for me. And I think one of the reasons that we have done that is that we've tried to protect ourselves. We've been self-focused, and we're trying to protect ourselves. But the fact is, it really hasn't protected ourselves. It's really not helped us. It's actually hurt us. I heard John Maxwell, I call him the leadership guru in the church and in the business community, say that sometimes when people have hurt us, we make this decision that we want to shut them out. So if we could be safe, we just shut them out. Therefore, nobody can hurt us ever again. But there's something else that happens when we shut out those people that hurt us. We also shut out those people that can help us. And so I want to encourage you today that you'll open your heart and allow the Lord to speak to you in this area of relationships, because we cannot do this alone. You cannot live life alone. And I believe there's more people around people, a lot of people that are alone at the same time. Ecclesiastes, I want to give you this scripture. We're going to throw it up on the screen. It's also there in your message notes. You can follow along and take some notes with us today. They're in your worship guide. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and 18 says this: there was a man all alone, all about himself, right? He had neither son nor brother. And look what happened. He said, I'm going to just live it. I can survive by myself. I don't need anybody. I'm going to do it my own self. Well, that didn't really work out too well, because it says there was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. So he said, I'm going to be about me. I'm going to get all I can and can all I can get, right? I'm going to go after wealth. I'm going to get some those all those things, that stuff that will satisfy me, that will fill up my life. But yet there was no contentment there in all of that. The fact remains, and that is that you and I were made for relationships. We were made for relationships. And so our goal in this message is that to help you understand, help us all understand that they're good for you, that relationships are good for you. And so we're going to focus on them. And we believe that as we do that, it's important that we get those good relationships back in our life in a healthy, in a very healthy way. And so you say, well, maybe immediately you're thinking of excuses why you can't be in relationship with people. And I just want to throw out some things of some excuses that oftentimes we make. Number one, write this down, and that is naivety. we're just naive. We just think that we don't need anybody. Or we say, no one told me that relationships. I grew up in church and nobody really told me that relationships were that important. Well, write that word naivety down there, and now you no longer have that excuse because you've been told, right? So relationships are extremely important. And this is an area sometimes for men that men just think, I got this, I got this, right? I'm the man. I can handle this, right? I don't need anybody, I don't need your help, I can do this myself, I'm the man, right? I don't need anybody, I don't got a problem, I don't need any help, I got this. Sissy to have to depend on somebody else, I just depend on myself. Reminds me of a story of Muhammad Ali. Y'all know the great world champion fighter Muhammad Ali. He got on an airplane one time, and you're supposed to buckle up on the airplane. And the flight attendant came by, and he was a guy who was kind of braggadocious. You know, he had got a lot of good sound clips out of him. You know, he was a guy, and so but he could put some. He's braggadocious. So the flight attendant comes by and says, "You need to buckle up." And he looked at the flight attendant and he said, "Superman don't need a seatbelt." And she said, "Really?" He said, "And Superman don't need an airplane either. So buckle up." So, we just think we got it all going on. No, we actually need relationships. So don't be naive. Number two is temperament. I'm not about other people. That's maybe for you. You're outgoing. I'm shy. You talk a lot. I talk very little. Everybody knows I talk a lot, right? So I heard an amen out there. Thank you very much. And you're saying, but I'm not that way. I don't talk. I don't have anything to say. I feel put on the spot. I'm shy. I don't need to be, Can I give you some words of wisdom regarding this area? Get over it. That's good, right? Just get over it, because the fact is, your relationships, that's the best thing that could happen for you. We need relationships to grow. Life change happens in the context of relationships. Amen, everybody? That's a phrase we use a lot around here, and it's the truth. A third area is the area of fear. I'm just afraid. All right, we're doing a small group launch today. Well, yeah, but I just don't know about small groups. I just have some fear about those things. I know how those things happen. You Christians are weird, and I ain't going to expose myself to all your weirdness. I mean, I know what's going to happen if I go to one of those groups, and that is the chairs are going to be in a circle in the middle of the living room, and there's going to be a chair in the middle of that circle, and that's going to be my chair, and they're going to want me to confess all my sins, and then after I confess all my sins, they're all going to lay hands on me, and they're going to cast the devil out of me. And then somebody's going to come up with a cross and go, "Hey." That's not what happens in small groups, y'all. Just relax. Yeah. And then the only drink they got in the kitchen is Kool-Aid. And that just confirmed your suspicions right there. I said, yeah, I knew it. No, actually, the opposite of that is going to happen in small groups. When you get into small groups, you're going to find out there's going to be some people just like you. You're going to have some things in common with people, and some things are, you're going to find out that people are very imperfect, and they got some imperfections just like you do. And so when people start to share, you're going to hear, "Yep, I got that. Yep, me too. You too? I thought it was just me. I thought all those Christians thought they were perfect." Nope. You're going to find them saying, "Yep, me too." It's like me. I'm now 55 years old. I should have just said in my 50s and leave it at that. Still climbing. Climbing. Not going down. Climbing. All right? And so, and when you get my age, you get around people your own age. And you start talking. And you find yourself saying, "Yep, me too. You feel that in your body? Yeah, me too. I had that pain too. Yeah, yep, me too." That's what's going to happen in small groups. You're going to get around people and they're going to say, "Yep, me too. Going through the same thing." And so you're going to have some things in common. C.S. Lewis, a great quote from C.S. Lewis says this: "Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Nope. No, I got that too, right? So that's what you're going to discover. Just a newsflash, Cross Point Worship Center is filled with imperfect people. There's people in this place right now that's got issues. That person next to you, on that row sitting beside you, they got issues. Don't let this coat fool you. I got issues. You got issues. I got issues. We got issues. All God's people got issues, right? So let's not play this church game and acting like we got it all together and we're spiritual, you know, hierarchies, and we know we got it all. No, listen, we're all in the same hospital together. We're on this journey together, and God put us here together knowing that we're imperfect, knowing that together they can help one another. And he said, the Bible even says that we go to God for, right? We go to God for salvation, but he says go to one another for healing, because he says pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, we know it's God that ultimately heals, but he uses one another. He uses relationships. The only thing God made when he made everything in the beginning, he said, hey, it's not good that man should be alone. He said he needs him help. So he created a woman. And we said, whoa, man. And then if you're real smart, you say, yes, ma'am. So give you just a little free marriage counseling there for you. For y'all need some help there, right? Men, yes, ma'am. Yes, dear. However you want to word that. Make it endearing if you want to. That's fine. So fear. Get over your fears. Another one is this. Past experiences. Some of us have been burned in relationships. And you've been hurt. But the pain that you experienced, that bad relationship, that divorce, whatever that took place in your life, whatever it is, it wasn't just about the two of you. It's not just about that person. But listen to this. The devil was up to something much greater than just that. He was not just trying to destroy the relationship. He was trying to keep you from ever being in a relationship again. You see, he was looking down the line, trying to make sure that the hurt, that hurt so badly that you never connected with the thing that connects you with the best that God wants to give you, and that is relationships. That's what he was really after. And so we've let some of these things occur in our life, these issues, but we've got to let some of these things go. So we need to look past some of these issues and let God heal us. And that's what he does best. So we must move beyond it so we can receive the best of what God has to offer. Another area is this, and that's the area of busyness. Busyness. A lot of us would like to fit more good things into our life, but we feel like we can't fit another thing in our life because we're so busy. And you know yourself whether that fits you or not, whether you're so busy that your life is not the quality of life it should be, where there's no room for anything. I would say this, if there was another installment of this, it would be that it's time for us to get our schedule back in order. I have decided to get my schedule in order. And so we need to examine our life and see if we're giving away our time to things at the end of the day that really do not matter. Do we have margin in our life? The Bible says a lot about this. You say, well, that's just kind of one of those whatevers. No, the Bible actually says a lot about our time use. The psalmist says that we're to teach me to number my days, recognizing how few they are. Teach me to spend them as I should. So relationships are very important because they're going to shape your life. Let me give you this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4. That says this, the end of all things is near. And so when you're talking about the end of all things, it's talking about what time we're in right now. And many scholars believe that we're in the end times. We're in the generation where everything is being fulfilled. In fact, most scholars say it's been fulfilled. That there's not one major prophecy that needs to be fulfilled to keep Jesus from coming, that he could come today. That's something to really think about. It sobers you up to realize where we are in the scheme of things. In fact, in our Dream Team huddle, Pastor Steve, he did a timeline of you know, through the centuries and where we are in the current church. We're in the church that's set for the coming of Jesus, for him to return. And so consider that. Then it says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So be clear-minded. It's good to be clear-minded. By the way, I think in our world, we need to be focused on this, and that is the kingdoms of God, not the kingdoms of this world. Now, those things are important. Things are important around us, and we can all kind of have different opinions on that, but those things can divide. I'm just a little pastoring here. Those things can divide. Here's what I would suggest. I would suggest we meet together at the place, not of the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdom of God, and in that place we can find unity, right? So we come together in that place, and we set aside the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, render unto those things that are Caesar's unto Caesar, and those things that are unto God, unto God. So Jesus said, my kingdoms are not of this world. And everybody's trying to bring him low and make him a political leader and take over Rome and all those things on this earth. Can I tell you, we're strangers passing through. Jesus is returning, and we're on our way up and out of here. In the meantime, God's given us a work to do. But it's not about getting all the kingdoms of this world right. It's about bringing people into the kingdom of God, to that everlasting kingdom that will know no end. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Amen, everybody? Can I get a good amen? A unifying amen. I didn't plan on saying that. That just came there. Okay. And so be clear-minded from all that stuff. Be self-controlled so that you can pray. Pray those things that matter. And then he says this, above all. Let me just hang that out. When the Bible says above all, give it your attention. All of God's word is important. But when it says above all, we need to give attention to it. So I just want to let that hang there, above all. So what's on the other side of that is this. Above all, love each other. Love each other. Isn't that interesting? So he says above all, it's about relationships. Above all, make sure you're having good, healthy relationships. So he says above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. It covers up. Love, you can be in good, healthy relationships that's going to cover you. It's going to cover you. I heard the story of a pastor who was went over to China. And by the way, a great work is being done in China. It's said that there's 35,000 people a day that are coming to Christ in China. That's something to praise God about. And there are thousands of churches a year that are being planted there. And this pastor was actually in China, kind of in underground meetings. I mean, not literally underground, you know, just in secret places meeting, training pastors. And he was there with his group. But there was a time when, you know, you could part from the group and kind of do some touring. I mean, you're already there. You might as well tour and see some things. So he wanted to see the Great Wall of China, and he went over, and he was with a group, but he had to leave early. He went a day early, so he was leaving the group. He was telling everybody bye, and he was getting into a cab to catch a plane, and he wanted to be on time. Well, the Chinese pastor there called him and said, hey, come here quick, come here. I need you to see this. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. And he said, no, I got to go. I got to go. I got a plane to catch. He said, no, 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 you must come. You must come. He said, no, you don't understand. You messed up my schedule. I got a plane to catch. And he said, no, 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 I insist you come and see. Come and see. And so he gets out of the cab, and he gets over to him, and he tells the driver, go ahead, I'll catch the next one. You know, and he got his stuff out, and he said, what is so important you want me to see? And he said, that cab. It's not legitimate. It's a fake cab. It's not official cab. The official cab has an emblem. There's no emblem. And he says, that's the cab that will take you out into the middle of nowhere and will rob you and beat you and leave you dead in China. Pastor said, you're my new best friend. I mean, you know. So here he was thinking, you know, I need to, it was, that relationship covered him. Can I tell you that your relationships, good relationships, will cover you, will save you from much harm? Look what it goes on to say. Each, or offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift you have received to serve. Let's take it up a notch. Let's be hospitable. Now let's begin to serve one another as faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who's speaking the very words of God. Come on, speaking into each other's lives in those relationships. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides. So that in all things, above all and in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And the church said amen, right? So let's make some relationship decisions. And let me give you four. And I believe that every one of us needs at least one of these and maybe all four of these to make these decisions. Number one, write this down. I have decided to nurture my important relationships. There are some relationships that are important. I'm a dad. God made me a dad. I'm so blessed. And that's an important relationship that I need to nurture. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. And so I need to nurture those relationships. And you cannot leave them where they are because nothing stays where you left it. Put it to you this way. Good relationships happen on purpose, not by accident. So like you can't just court your wife. Sorry, that's an old term. Date your wife. Is there a newer term? I don't know. Hang out with your wife. You know, when you first get married or when you're dating her and you wine and dine her and you give her flowers and all that, and then all that stuff dies. Guess what? Your marriage will deteriorate too if you don't maintain it. You got to be intentional. It's like the illustration I heard of a guy driving this pickup truck, and he's driving, and when him and his wife were first dating, she'd nestle right up next to him. Now, folks, this was the day before seatbelt law, all right? So she'd snuggle up, and maybe there's a seatbelt in the middle, I don't know, but she snuggled up to him, and so years passed, and she's over now on her side, and he's on his side, and she looks over at him, and she said, "Honey, when did we drift so far apart?" And he looks at her and says, "Well, I haven't moved, you know." But can I tell you, it's not just going to take her, it's going to take him too, and we both need to work on our relationship. So nurture those relationships. Colossians 2:19 says this: "The whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." And so we're focusing here on the connecting points in the body of Christ. And in our life, those connection points. In a real body, we focus on exercise, on nutrition, on taking care of ourselves, of getting a good night's sleep. And so we want to take care of our body. And if you do, you get to use it a long time. And if you don't, you end up dead before you're supposed to. You end up in the box. And after you're dead, it's too late to work out because you're in the box, right? So now is the time. That being said, our relationships, we need to nurture it and we need to strengthen it before it breaks. Fix the marriage before it needs fixing. Wouldn't it be refreshing if somebody came into the office and said, "Hey, we need some marriage counseling." Okay, well, what's going on? What's the issues? Nothing. We just want to strengthen our marriage. Wouldn't that be refreshing? Usually we come in when all the pieces are all over the place and we say, "Would you please put Humpty Dumpty back together again, Pastor? You know, just fix this thing." But we need to fix things before. You don't wait until the engine has fallen out on the floor, right? But you put some oil in that thing so you keep the thing running. Before the fire goes out, you put a log on the fire. Not after the fire's out. You put a log on the fire while it's still burning to keep that thing still burning, right? And keep that flame hot. So we need to work on our relationship. And so that means work on it now. Work on your marriage now. Invest in your kids now. Don't wait until they are grown. Work on them now. Invest time in them. Family time. Play with them. Now we do a lot of things around here. But we don't want your life so busy that you don't have time for your family. In fact, our small group model is that we're not just trying to add one more thing to your life, but we'd actually like to encourage you to take that thing that you're already doing and turn it into a small group. In fact, I just want to emphasize this. Small groups are not just an in-house activity. They're outside as well. So, hey, just go to work a few minutes, a little bit earlier, and gather a few close friends and have a little devotional before work. That's a small group. So when you go to the football game and you want to have a tailgate party, turn it into a tailgate party for Jesus. Turn it into a small group. It doesn't have to be weird. Have a scripture. Have a prayer. Have a moment sharing. And go watch your team win. I started to say Panthers. Somebody. Patriots or Falcons. So turn it into a small group, though. I'm losing control now. All right, so let's get back on track. All right. So invest, though. And I have to say this to myself, guys. I'm not just out here finger pointing. I'm saying this myself. For those that don't know, if you're watching online, I'm a bivocational pastor. What is that? That means I work a job outside the church. That's just where we are right now and things, and that's okay. But it makes me for a busy camper. And I got church, and I got work, and I got a family out there somewhere. But I need to make sure that I'm not sacrificing my kids and putting them on the altar of sacrifice to build the church or a career or whatever it is that you're doing. Listen, we need to make sure that we're investing time in those relationships that matter, those very important relationships. Parents, your kids need you. Well, I just want to park here for a minute. Your kids need you. Your teachers can't do it for your kids. They need you. My kids have been fortunate to go to a Christian school, but it's not up for just the teacher to teach them. I need to teach them by the way I live and investing my time and let them know I care about them and having that very important relationship. Don't wait too long. Put a log on the fire, right, everybody? Number two, I've decided to restore my broken relationships. Let me just tell you this. The pain of unresolved conflict is greater than the pain of resolving it. Why don't you write that one down? The pain of an unsolved conflict is greater than the pain of resolving it. It may be painful to resolve it, but it's more pain for it not to be resolved. And so I urge you to do your part. Even if they don't do their part, I understand not everybody's going to participate in that. But you need to have a place of peace and being able to forgive and to let go. And so in 2017, I'm not bringing into that 2017 another year of that pain and records of wrong. I encourage you, say these words, let it go. Right. Let it go. Move on from the past so that God can write a new chapter in your life and give you a new future. There's a lot of people weighted down because they're dragging all the baggage with them, heavy laden, burdened with care, because they haven't laid it down at the cross, haven't given it to the Lord, and they haven't forgiven the person and able to move on, and it changes who you are as a person because you can't let that go. Listen, that's how important relationships are. But God help us to be healed of that. Romans chapter 12 says this, do not repay evil for evil. I'm not going to get even. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So resolving conflict, it's a choice. I heard about a couple that have been celebrating 50 years of marriage, and they asked the woman, what is the secret of you being faithful to your husband all these years? And she said, well, it's easy. She said, I made a decision when we first got married that I was going to make a list of the 10 greatest faults that he had, and I was going to overlook those 10. And somebody asked, so what were those 10? She said, you know what? I never really made the list. She said, just every time that he did something, I just thought, well, lucky for him, that's on the list. Isn't that good? So lucky for him, that's just one of them. And why not live that way? Just let it go. Forgive people and be healthy. Number three, I have decided to sever any harmful relationships. So not only restore broken relationships, but there's some relationships that need to be severed. So that relationship that you have at work that you know is a little too flirtatious, you need to end it. For those of you that are cohabitating and not married, you need to end it. Oh, Pastor, did you really go there in 2017? Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I believe that the kindness of God that leads to repentance, and I'm not about pointing a condemning finger at anyone, but I do want to make it clear I'm not compromising God's word and the truth. Okay? I'm not going to be ugly about it. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to show the love of Jesus, but I'm not going to, right? Come on. Thank you. And that needs to be in. Well, how do I do that? Well, you just get the phone right now and you just text them and you say, it is over. I don't know if I got the courage to do that. Well, then you just say, Pastor Theron said, it is over. I know y'all think I'm going to get in trouble, don't you? No. I'm just declaring what's going to help you. All right? So in those relationships, some of you guys that are hanging around these guys telling sleazy jokes, you need to remove yourself from that. First of all, it's not helping your reputation any when you hang out with that and that people see you and associate you with that you're approving of that. I'm not saying you have to be ugly and stomp out the room and make a scene, but you need to sever those harmful relationships. Look at what Proverbs 27 says. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. You've heard this phrase, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Who you associate, who is around you, the relationships you have, it will shape who you are. And one of the wisest men wrote this, again in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. That's why we're encouraging to get into a small group. Better to get into a small group of people that are going to help you, that's going to encourage you, that's going to love you. Better than to do that than to hang around and have with the companion of fools, because you end up dead in China. You need to be around people that love you, that encourage you, to support you, those healthy, good relationships. This is good preaching. Amen, everybody? All right, I'm amening myself. Actually, I'm just amening God's word. Amen. So, let's look at number four. I have decided to initiate some meaningful relationships. Initiate. That means that a lot of us probably don't have them yet, and you need them. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says this, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So let's come together. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that day is a capital D, and what that's referring to is judgment days. So it's important. God's saying, get your relationships right. Get in healthy relationships. So what are the most meaningful relationships that may not exist in your life? I want to quickly give you four. If you don't have them, make sure this happens this year in 2017. Come on, we're going to make great decisions in 2017. And that is, first of all, write this down, you need to be in relationship with a church. Jesus died for the church. We see churches planted in the early days, the early church, and how they would come together and meet together. God instituted that. And so you don't just need to go to church. You need to get in relationship with the church. So if you're church hopping, stop it. Get in. Get involved. Run the play. Go all in, and your life will change for the good. Next week, we're going to be offering Church 101. And there is an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going all in. I want to run the play, Pastor, and we'll help you through with understanding what God has called us to do as a church. But get in relationship with a church. Church doesn't save you. A relationship with Jesus, that's what saves you. But then Jesus puts you into a church. He plants you into a place where you can take root, where you can grow, where you can be committed. And I want to encourage you, don't put one foot in and one foot out, straddling the fence. Don't be unstable. Go all in. And that's where you're going to be really fulfilled. So, relationships with the church. Number two, and that is get into relationship with a small group. We need to make a decision that I'm going to be in relationship with a small group. And we're launching today. Pastor Steve, how many do we have launching today? 11 groups that are launching today. Get into a group. So after church, we got into the message intentionally early today. We're going to be having an encounter service as we have communion together, and then we're going to be moving into our showcase area. Come on, sign up. Put your name on the line. And it's also on our directory on crosspointworshipcenter.com that you can go to, and you'll see a map there of where the groups are located, phone numbers, contact information. You can call, you can talk to them, but get into a small group. Well, they don't have my group that I like. Well, then see Pastor Steve, and he'll help you start your own small group. Maybe it's before work. Maybe it's after school. Maybe it's on the athletic field. But start a small group. Get involved in a small group. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Get into a small group. Why do that? Because it's a group of people that's going to encourage you. They're going to care for you. They're going to keep you from getting into a bad cab, right? They're gonna help you. They're going to support you. They're going to pray over you. They're going to love you. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in that kind of a setting? Did you know that UCLA did a study and said that every person needs at least 8 to 10 meaningful touches every day just to be healthy? We need affection. We need each other. I see arms going around people right now. I think we should all just stand up and no, I'm just kidding, y'all. Some of y'all are getting your stuff ready to stand up. I think we ought to stand up and hug each other and just hug a stranger, somebody you don't know that well, just, you know, make an awkward hug. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you said, see, I told you those Christians were weird. I'm not coming back. Some of you going, I like this. I'm going to sit next to somebody I really like next week. Anyway, no. You say, well, I want to get into a small group because it's going to be awkward. Is it going to be awkward? Yes. It's going to be awkward at first. But in time, those are going to be the best friends you have for life when you get connected. So I encourage you in that. Get into a small group. I actually heard something on the radio this week, and they said there's a brand new study out there that talks about the secret of happiness. And I said, oh, this ought to be good. The secret of happiness. And it said, you know what the secret of happiness is? It's doing for others. And I thought, really? Well, they're just brilliant people. Brilliant. Then isn't there something somewhere that says more blessed to give than to receive? I mean, isn't there a principle out there that we've been hearing for centuries on end? And they're still concluding the same thing. When we begin to do something for somebody else. So let me lead you to this next point, and that is we need to get in relationship with a team. Why? Because teams are fun. Anybody on a team say whoop whoop or something? And it allows us to produce a lot more than we ever could have produced alone. Get on a team. And you will have a limited production if you live your life by yourself than it will if you get on a team. So get on a team. Get on a technical team. Get on a parking team. Get on a children's team. Get on a worship team. Come on, get into a small group. It's going to be fun, and together you can do a lot more than you could ever do alone. So really want to encourage you on that. I feel like I want to pause here and just name the groups because groups are coming to my mind, but I don't want to miss any of them, and I don't have a list up here. But get into a small group. There's some good ones, okay? There's some good teams around here. as well. Get on the grow track, run the play, get on a team, get involved. And I don't want to pick just one because I'll get in trouble, but I'm going to pick just one because I told this guy I would, and then I thought, well, I'll pick them all and I'll list them all, and I didn't get with you, Pastor Steve. But I got to tell you, there's one group that's just awesome. You should check it out. I mean, it's awesome. And that's the landscaping group. Have you seen this group? They are tremendous. They are tremendous. Making a difference. So when people drive down that road, they go, ooh, what is that? So we got some things we're planning to do outside to make a difference and let our light shine on the hill. So if you want to have some fun, I mean on a Saturday, get together in the morning and have some fellowship and some word, and then cut some grass and trim some bushes and make and beautify the thing and get your landscaping, artistic, aesthetic juices flowing, get on that team. I know some of you go, what about my team? I'll stop right there, okay? I'm going to put ... to be continued. That's just to whet your appetite. Go check them out after the service. All right, everybody, we good? Everybody still love me for not calling your group out, but get on a team and get involved and get into a small group. Now, and then let me give you this last one. I want you to write this one down. And that is that none of these things work. Actually, let's put it this way. This one is actually the first one. And this actually takes us back to week one. And it all begins with this, and that is that we need to have a relationship with God. And so it's not religion that we need, but it's a relationship with God. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with God. In fact, I think we should be blown away with the fact that He actually wants to have a relationship with us. Think about it. Let me just underline this again. Relationship is miles from religion. Religion is all the things that you got to do. Relationship is understanding that Jesus has already done it all for you. And so I accept Him into my life and I establish a relationship with Him. And that relationship is intimate, it's meaningful, it's powerful, and it's real. And if you have missed that, you've missed it all. And you and I know whether we have that relationship or not. And if you've missed that and you're just going through the motions and you're kind of doing church but you don't have that real relationship with Him, I'm telling you, that relationship of knowing God, you have missed what this whole thing is all about. In fact, none of this works, and life doesn't work without that, because everything you're doing becomes extremely hard and difficult because you can't do it. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, I'm so frustrated right now. And I said, you know what my frustration is telling me? My frustration is telling me that I need a Savior. You see, God knew that we could never keep all the rules. And He did that to point us to the fact that we needed a Savior who is perfect, has already fulfilled the law in Himself. And in Him, our life is hid and covered. He covers a multitude of sins. He forgives us. He grafts us back into relationship with Him, and our life is forever changed and fulfilled. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Some of you need to make a decision today that I have decided that I'm going to be in relationship with God. It's a decision. You see, God's already demonstrated. He's already showed that He loves you. And all He's asking is for you to love Him back. So it's a covenant love relationship where you're saying, I have decided. I'm giving Him my life. I'm giving Him my heart. And how do we do that? Well, we just do that by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. So for you here today, maybe you've never made that decision, or perhaps you've made that decision, but you're not in right relationship and you know it, and you're ready to come back today, and you're ready to make that decision. We're having people making decisions every week. We're having people online that are responding, saying, I'm making a decision. count me in. So today what I'd like to do is lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. And if you're here today, I'm going to ask this question. If you're ready to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided I want a relationship with you, God. I'm going to help you with the words. But right now, you say, Pastor, that's me. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just slip up a hand where you are. Hold it up for just a moment very courageously. Yes, yes. Good job. Good job. Amen. All right, you can put your hands down. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching online, and that's you today, you're saying, that's me, Pastor. I'm watching online. It may be live, it may be recorded that you're listening to this. But God is currently, right now, speaking into your life, and you know that you need to respond. I encourage you, pray this with us today. I'm just going to help you with the words. If you're here today, I'd like you to pray this with me. In fact, I like everyone here praying this out loud for support. So from your heart, all you got to do is mean it. I'm just helping you with the words. Just say this. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for desiring to have a relationship with me, for coming to rescue me, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me of my past. I turn from my past to follow you. Today I invite you in my life. Come live inside of me. Make me brand new. Today I give you my life. Say this. Today I declare you as the Lord of my life. And with all of my heart, I will serve you. Thank you for a relationship with you today. Help me each day to follow you as you lead me in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you for each person who prayed this here and even online. I thank you today that you have heard their prayer. I thank you that you have responded. I thank you, Lord, that now heaven rejoices over the decisions that have been made. God, I thank you, Lord, for leading them one step at a time. And right now, I pray also for this church. Help us to be a church that is about relationships. God, may we be a church that's not just a church with small groups, but a church of small groups. God, because we need one another. I pray you'd strengthen our relationships. Give us healthy relationships, God. Lord, encourage us, I pray, as we follow you, that we'll follow you fully with all of our heart. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on. Did you get anything out of this series? Come on. Let's give God all the praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.